Welcome everybody to the War and Peace Baseball Podcast. It's episode 94 for Tuesday, November 7th. I'm Alex Uy, and I'm here today with everybody. I've got Ray Estrada, I've got Verbode Markazi, and Alex Rudy. How are you guys doing?
It has been a longer night than expected.
Yes, it has. This is,
hey, no one knows that.
This is that's fair.
No one knows why.
Hey. They will, yeah.
I am tired, but I am rejuvenated and excited for this podcast.
Yes.
Did you say rejuvenated?
Rejuvenated.
Oh, I thought you said rejuvenated.
Yeah, I'm ready to go, and I'm also, you know, I'm a little bit, I'm sad and I'm happy at the same time.
I'm sad as well.
Let's get the big news out on the table. Yes, you will find out. We are going to be rebranding this whole show, this whole shebang. War and Peace Baseball will be no more. If I had like a sad crowd sound effect, I would play it right now, but I don't. Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Just imagine that times like 100. But yeah, this is, like I said, 94 episodes with this plus a bunch of other, you know, random episodes throughout the way. It's definitely over 100 episodes that we've done with this name.
All our fantasy episodes.
All our fantasy ones as well. That is going to change. We're going to be going with the name Beat the Shift. That is the new name of our podcast. Starting next week is when everything new will be implemented, up and running. We'll still be on YouTube. We'll still be on iTunes. As soon as we have links available to those new sites, I will include those in, you know, the description here. But, you know, for all other purposes, Beat the Shift is the name to know. That is what we are from this point going forward. That is what you should, you know, be ready for. Next week we will start an entire off season of awesome podcasts. We'll do two teams of the week every single week, covering all 30 teams in this off season. So it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, especially if you don't know a lot about other MLB teams, you'll certainly hear plenty about, you know, teams that you never thought you'd listen to an entire podcast about. But
like the Yankees.
Yeah, no, and the Angels, and the Dodgers. We never talk about these teams, but now we'll have an entire episode devoted to them at some point in the off season. And I believe starting next week, our two teams that we will be covering are... What? I don't even... Oh, yes, the Angels. We'll be covering the Angels Padres. And the Padres.
I will be your insider for that.
If you're wondering the order of these, completely randomized, but we'll be doing one team from each league. Every single
literally,
week.
I feel like you guys just put me first, so you can find me on one podcast and then just like let me loose on the other ones.
Yeah,
no. Well, you're responsible for more than just the Angels, Farbode.
Yes, we're all.
We'll be the outsider insider.
We're gonna go hard this off season, is what you're hearing. So, you know, this is, you know, we got all four of us here for the very last War and Peace Baseball Podcast, but starting next week, it's gonna start a whole new era of Beat the Shift. It's gonna be fun. It's going to be a lot of the same, you know.
We have,
it's
like, sad music.
We're the same people. I mean, I already said I don't have the sad crowd sound effects or anything.
Why not, like, In the Arms of an Angel?
No. You want? I'm not even going to invite you to sing. I think that's a really bad idea. yeah.
You wish I sang.
I really don't. So...
Dun, dun, dun.
All right. So, you know, of course, we do actually have... baseball to talk about today. This isn't just an announcement. We're going to be talking about the World Series. We haven't podcasted since the World Series a week ago. You know, everything was totally different. Cover your ears, turn away if you haven't watched Game 7 of the World Series, if you were saving it for whatever reason, if you don't know who won. So we'll be talking about the Astros winning the World Series, and we'll be talking about the awards finalists, which were announced today also, and ever so briefly about the free agent market for this offseason. We'll get into that a lot more in future episodes. So, yeah, are we ready to get to the big news that is happening?
Just get to it.
All right. Yeah, so
just do it.
You guys are just like, shut up and just play the drop. All right, so Astros are your 2017 World Series champions, first time ever. George Springer is your MVP. Pretty much just like Sports Illustrated drew it up. Who was that?
Hey, Ray, give me your first reaction to that.
sad.
Why?
The Dodgers lost the World Series in 7. I mean,
but not angry. You're sad, but you're not angry.
Have you accepted it by this point?
Yes. I accepted it right away.
It was a fantastic series. I mean, we've talked about almost every game in the podcast. I think we didn't cover games 6 and 7. Last two games. They weren't like games 2 and 5 will go down in history as some of the most exciting World Series games of all time, of course. But those last two games, you know, I feel like people were spoiled by the crazy, you know, lead changing games that we saw earlier in the series, the 12-13 game. But, you know, it finished out, you know, pretty strong. The Astros came out swinging in game 7. And I think just throughout the course of that game, it gave Dodgers fans a chance to, like, let it digest that, you know, this is just how it's happening. You told me that if it was a close game going into the 9th inning, you would have definitely felt a lot differently about the end of that game, right, Ray?
Oh, definitely, yeah. But, like, as the innings got longer and they just weren't catching breaks, it was like, okay, the realization started to set in that the Astros are probably going to win this. Even with the whole series, you couldn't say like, the Astros have this, but, I mean, it turned from frustration early from what was happening to, like, a sad realization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, we're talking – everybody likes to compare World Series now. Like, this was a crazy eventful World Series, but how does it compare to last year's? Like, Rudy, what do you think about, you know, this whole idea of comparing this World Series to the last one? Like, do you think one was better than the other? Do you think that people should just, you know, shut up and watch some exciting baseball and not worry about which one was better? You know, like, how did you feel about, you know, this one compared to how you were feeling last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think, unfortunately, for as good as this World Series was from a baseball fan standpoint, and it truly, once again, built on a lot of momentum to continue to kind of bring this game back into the fold as the, you know, America's pastime that is, I just don't think you can compare it to the Cubs winning their first World Series in 9,000 years. And that's an impossible, like, comparison. I think you're a little high on that. And, like, you can't hold it that high of a standard. I think considering, like, the Astros are probably, like, one of the most under-the-radar big market teams in sports, I would say, from, like, an overall societal presence. And, so they had the Dodgers, I think, really carrying a lot of the attention to a degree, though I guess Jose Altuve being the star certainly helped. I still think it capped off an incredible playoffs and a sport-changing season for baseball. And
a super controversial season too.
This is gonna be a year, like, looking back on it, where there's like we will be thinking about it for years, and there will be articles and documentaries and podcasts about it. I don't think you really could ask anything more from this series than what it gave us. I mean, Game 5. You can make the case was the best baseball game of all time. Yeah. You could make that case. Yeah. And you could make that case maybe for Game 7 the last year, too. Mm-hmm. I think Farbode posted an article referencing the 2006 World Series as the worst ever. This certainly was not in the
conversation. I didn't post an article. I sent a link.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I found that on Facebook.
He's incredibly honest, anyway.
Difference between those two.
Yeah. Well, you know, to be fair, I think in terms of change in win probability added, Game 5 of this World Series was the 6th most exciting game of all time by a statistical metric. But yeah, of course, obviously, it's a World Series game, for crying out loud. It was insane. And I guess, you know, also you mentioned that, you know, the Cubs, you know, haven't won in 9,000 years or whatever you said, but the Astros, you know, haven't won in forever. That's also a big deal. So, you know, I don't know what's worse is, you know, an extremely long drought or having never won it. So, you know, Houston is obviously, you know, pumped about this entire win. This past week has been full of, you know, excitement in a city that really needed it. The parade was, you know, awesome as it normally is. Wasn't 5 million strong like it was in Chicago, but the streets were flooded with Astros fans.
That's a bad word to use.
flooded.
Houston.
No, it's a perfect word to use. You mean
it's a sad word.
It's using flooding in a good context in that city. They were flooded with fans instead of water. So, yeah, it was a fun time. You know, Joe Musgrove shotgunned a beer. Astros fans threw a hat up a parking garage to get it back to a fan who dropped
it. That
was probably the coolest shot of that whole parade. Yeah, so I'm sorry that, you know, Ray didn't get to enjoy a Dodgers parade. But, you know, good for Houston. Yeah. Good for Carlos Correa and Justin Verlander, who are going to start new chapters of their lives. Correa proposed in his post-game interview, and Justin Verlander...
That ring was huge.
Is it bigger than the World Series ring, though?
I don't know. I'm sure you'll see a side-by-side at some point. There has to be, right?
If there isn't, are they even getting married?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, yes, but the point is, Correa pulled a big ballsy move at the end of that in that post game interview, and Justin Verlander is probably, doing okay for himself too. He just got married to Kate Upton. He is probably the envy of every single man in the universe right now. World Series. In wedding in the span of a week, how about it?
And he doesn't play for the Tigers.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt too. So yeah, is there anything else like from that last game, like the World Series hype, the post game, you know, shenanigans that always happen? You know, I think they were all on, you know, late night shows. Or was there anything else that, you know, like stood out to you from what the Astros were doing?
Not that anything stood out to me. I think you touched on this, but honestly, the biggest thing for me, this series, I was very torn at the beginning on, like, do I want to root for a SoCal team? Because I am, but, like, I also don't exactly enjoy the Dodgers. And then the Astros are my division, so I was like, I don't know who to root for, but then it came down to the city, and I think the city of Houston probably needed this more than... LA, with all due respects, Ray.
We're just like consoling Ray, like every other sentence here. I love it.
No, but I think that's the biggest thing for me and why I wanted the Astros to win over the Dodgers, because I remember the Boston Marathon shooting and what the World Series did for that city and how the city rallied around the Red Sox all through the playoffs, and then. I just want that to happen for that city.
Yeah. So
there was one thing that really stood out for me from the whole series that I really appreciated was the whole thing regarding I think it was before the Dodgers' first game, the first pitch I thought was really incredible and meaningful, and I think does anyone know what I'm referencing, or is that not
From the first game? I don't recall. Remind everybody.
Vin Scully? No.
That was
game two.
When
yeah.
brought out.
I was going to bring that
okay,
up.
Okay, that was game was two, fantastic. And I thought, yeah. I was really hoping that Sandy Koufax would come out, Del Fernando, I don't want to pronounce his last name.
Exactly. Valenzuela.
There we go. Still very, worthy candidate. I just thought that was like a great like just sport moment person. I Vin Scully is like in my opinion like kind of a pinnacle aspect of sport, like a goat in a certain like sense in the last of a different era. I just think like that's what baseball's about, that's what sport's about, that's what the World Series is all about. Like
yeah, and I mean
that to me that might have been the highlight honestly in a weird way.
Yeah, I mean, every Dodgers first pitch was pretty incredible. I think one of them was Jackie Robinson's family. Koufax throughout Game 7, I think. Don Newcomb throughout one of them, too. So, I mean, the Dodgers with all the history that they had was incredible to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a huge series. Like, they played the hype perfectly. It was the ratings were up in, you know, every regard, even, like, after last year. Just, you know, the quality of these games has gone up so much and everything surrounding it.
I think
free tacos again, you know, who doesn't like that?
Cameron Maven.
Cameron Bay. No, he likes it the most of all of us, apparently.
Yeah. No, I think one of the biggest things, just after every season, after every World Series, you just look back at the season, and we also touched on this too. This season was a great, great season for baseball, and it filled all three of us with letdowns, some earlier than others, with some letdowns, but then it was just a great season, season of baseball. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, so, and you know, just like every other World Series in recent history, everybody somewhat frustrated with Joe Buck for not sounding excited enough in World Series games. That's just tradition.
Can Vin Scully call it? I tweeted about that.
What?
Can Vin Scully call the World Series?
No, leave Vin Scully alone. He's fine.
He's doing okay for himself.
I want him back too, but he's fine.
Leave Vin Scully alone.
Sometimes you got to give out trade-offs, and if we get rid of Joe Buck.
No, I would love to just throw Joe Buck away and bring in Vin Scully, but Vin Scully has stated he does not want to come back into spotlight or anything. He just wants to enjoy retirement. He's fine.
All right. Well.
All right. Sorry.
That's the end of that story, I guess. So, yeah, I guess from there, that's a good point to move on to some more recent news. This just came out today, actually, and that's the awards finalists. It's that time of year. Everything, the dust has settled from the postseason, and now we're gonna see who the MVP, the Cy Young, the Rookie of the Year, the Manager of the Year. So we'll go through all of those things. We'll start with the MVP finalists, and in the NL, it's just about what you'd expect. Stanton, Votto, Goldschmidt. We've talked about these awards. We predicted the outcomes of these awards, so we're not going to debate who we think is worthy in this episode. We've already done that. You can
podcast. We don't need this episode to be 10 hours long.
We're just going through the news. We'll leave it at that. We can discuss some of the somewhat shocking things from this. So the thing is, in the AL, Aaron Judge, Jose Altuve, of course, are going to be there. Jose Ramirez was the third finalist, and it wasn't Mike Trout, which is...
That's why I said that.
Yeah, and that's the reason, that's the only reason that this list looks so off. The top two are going to be something between Altuve and Judge, and just Mike Trout not being right there alongside that, in that MVP.
I really want to see the final. I really want to see the final voting.
Yeah, I do too. It's baffling to me. I mean, Mike Trout had I personally thought he could have finished second in the MVP voting.
We talked about this in the last one we had that I was there, and he was the one of the number one reasons the Angels were where they were, even though he missed the month.
Yeah. And the thing is, he had the best performance of his career, but it was cut a little bit short by injury. This was the best statistical career he's ever had, year he's ever had. So it's disheartening. It's a little disheartening that, you know, these sports writers don't see it. Ramirez had a great year, but, you know, Mike Trout was really, really good. If that one little, you know, stint that he missed wasn't there, he would have won this thing by a lot.
I mean, for most of the season, it was Mike Trout and Simmons as the Angels. Until they made their moves, but even then, Mike Trout was the number one reason the Angels even had a chance.
Yeah, so you know, I'm all for streaks. That streak is broken, which is sad. You know, top two finishes every year of his career so far.
I was hoping for that to happen again. I'm a big fan of streaks.
I mean, this is weird. This is a year where LeBron James and Mike Trout did not get in a finalist spot in the MVP voting. That's bizarre. People are gonna look at that and say, what happened this year? Why was he not there? I don't know. You know, it bugs me, but you know, we won't talk about, you know, who we think should win. We've already done that, of course. So do you guys have anything else to say about the MVP finalists before we continue on?
Do you want?
I think it'd be interesting to see the for Votto versus Stanton, because like Goldschmidt, I think, like, has the great team justification, so I'm sure people will use that logic, and I don't want to go too deep into that, but I'm really interested to see, like, when the voting plays out, like, when you justify Votto versus Stanton seasons, those are, like, that really comes down to, like, what stats you really decide are most important, and moreover, like, what level of team success is enough, because neither teams were particularly good. So, like, that's, like, a very subjective, like, difference. I think it's going to be, like, I'm very interested to see, like, where that line is drawn. Because I think, like, baseball is probably, like, the most unique sport in terms of, like, just, like, how important this voting breakdown is. And because it's such a stat-driven, like, game, where people choose to put their value in, you know, metrics.
Yeah, I'm just really hoping some of these traditional voters can wake up a little bit and just not look only at home runs and RBI and make their decision based off that. Because I know there's still people out there that do it, and it really bugs me. It's just not a good way to evaluate players.
When we did predictions about, like, 2.5 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I think two or three of us had Votto as the MVP.
I think everybody had Votto except for Rudy.
Rudy, yeah.
And it was very close for all of us, but
I've come around since then. I can see the case now.
And he hit a double with a four-man outfield.
Right, that is the most important thing, I guess.
You should just get the MVP automatically for that, honestly.
He beat the shift.
On the Trout thing, I think we talked, it was in our group chat, like, I like to see how close the split was between Ramirez and Trout in terms of finalists. I would not be surprised if it was one, two, or three votes.
Yeah, I'm not trying to take anything away from Jose Ramirez, because he had a crazy good year also. So, just
I'm not trying to take anything away from Jose Ramirez, but I just want to find out the people who voted for him and find out where they live.
Okay. Somebody keep an eye on Farbode in the next week or so. Yeah, so let's move on. Cy Young finalists in the National League, Kershaw, Scherzer, and Strasburg. Not too much different there, but Strasburg finding his way into the Cy Young conversation.
I mean, finally finding his way off the disabled list.
Yeah, that too. That's all it took, apparently. What were you about to say?
That is really all it took. I mean...
Yeah. So the AL, of course, we've talked about that many times, the Kluber and Sale battle for the AL Cy Young, and then Severino was the third finalist. Great year from him. I think that was a pretty easy set of finalists to group as well. So not a lot of controversy.
Yeah, I think both of those are two-man races. I think Kershaw Scherzer stacks up and Kluber Sale, and then Strasburg Severino are kind of just there. Mm-hmm. And I think there are people who are saying, like, Kimbrel and Jansen should have gotten considerations. Relievers have to have, like, record-breaking years to, but I mean, I'm sure they were very close, but relievers have to have.
Probably got a few third-place votes. Like, it always happens. It thins out like that. So, yeah. I guess that's all for Cy Young.
I think it's really remarkable Severino's turnaround from last year to this year. Can you guys think of a guy who, like, was just at this age, had that drastically different of seasons back to back like this? I mean,
I think what's even more remarkable is his playoff turnaround.
I think the fact
that he got bombed in the wildcard game against the Twins and then had very solid outings throughout the rest of the playoffs, I think, is more impressive to me than turnaround.
That you could say that too, but I just think, like, fascinating career so far, because he literally came out of nowhere, which I think is really rare for pitchers,
baseball prospect too,
and baseball prospects too, and he rose up the prospect rankings, had a pretty impressive rookie year, terrible sophomore slump, and then to have this season, like, pitching in Yankee Stadium, which is definitely not a pitcher friendly park by any means, like, I don't think he's, like, deserves to be the Cy Young in any way. Like, I think Sale and Kluber without a doubt a notch above, if not many notches, but I know I'm just being biased because he's a Yankee, but I really think what an impressive young player season, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I think if anything, because he's so young, it makes it just a little bit less surprising than, you know, like, an older player just turning around.
Yeah, that's
all
fair.
Of a sudden. But yeah, I'm certainly happy he did, and I hope it continues on that trajectory. So, you know, we'll talk about some more young players here. This is seriously a locked up award already, but Rookie of the Year, obligatory finalists grouping. Bellinger, Josh Bell, and Paul DeJong were the other NL finalists. And then the American League judge, Benintendi and Trey Mancini round out the AL finalists. So Bellinger and Judge, I believe, already received their awards in June, but if you know, the other nominees were a little bit strange choices. Like Josh Bell did not have a fantastic year, but he had a lot of counting numbers. He played like 160 games, I think. He played a lot of games. So he's in that mix. Paul DeJong had a really good season, hit a lot of home runs, but flew really under the radar. And then Trey Mancini also was really under the radar this entire season, put up really nice final numbers. And, you know, Benintendi, everybody knows about him. So I don't think there's a lot of controversy there. You know, you can maybe throw in guys like Matt Chapman for the AL, or Luis Castillo is probably the best rookie pitcher in either league. You thought maybe he could get a finalist nomination.
They can just be honorable mentions, honestly.
Yeah, I mean,
this award, yeah, it's been decided.
Yeah, so, well, how about that? One of the Rookie of the Years is going to be on the cover of MLB The Show 2018, so.
Watch one of them get snubbed.
Oh my God, could you imagine that would be outrage?
I can't, I will host that podcast because I want to see either of you, whichever one it is, imagine either side of you guys, just go off.
Like Josh Bell and Trey Mancini winning the Rookie of the Years this year. I can't imagine. Like that would be you know, if you thought Mike Trout versus Miguel Cabrera was bad, you know, a few years ago, this is going to be a whole different level. Yeah. So Manager of the Year, last award that has finalists announced. NL, there's Dave Roberts, there's Bud Black, and is it Tony Lavullo, right? Is that his name?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I got his first name right. All NL West, how about that? And then AL...
I really think it's the trap to see that the Twins manager was not...
He was.
...nomination.
So he was. Paul Molitor is a...
He was?
Paul Molitor, AJ yeah. Hinch, and Terry Francona in the AL.
No,
wrong league.
Yeah.
Never mind. I don't know my information.
Paul Molitor's in there. Maybe you're thinking of Craig Counsell for the Brewers, also kind of
there we go.
Rebuilding.
I thought Counsell
two Midwest teams.
Yeah. I thought Counsell should have definitely had an opportunity to be that because, I mean, or like, he's like Molitor. The team was not expected to do anything this year. Yeah. The Twins had one of the biggest, turnarounds. They were the worst teams in the league in 2016,
the Twins went from 100 losses to a playoff team. That's
yeah,
I mean, I think there's no, you know, problem. Nobody has a problem with the managers that were chosen. There's just a lot of good managers. You know, you could make the case. You know, Girardi's also definitely in that mix. I mean,
he's not a manager anymore.
Not a former manager. So, you know, there's lots of cases that can be made, but, you know, you can't...
I think the AL
you can't leave out the guy who had a 22-game win streak with his team this season, or, you know, the manager that, you know, took his team to the World Series with one of the best records in the AL. Like, there's...
No,
It's not even that important of an award. Like, you know, everybody knows...
It's a pretty important award.
Everybody knows who the good managers are, and the good managers know when they're doing a good job, because... they're winning a lot of games, so you know,
and they're employed.
They're employed. they're employed. They're winning the employment award every single year. They're out there. So, you know, those are all the finalists. Congrats to everybody that did that. You know, it's it should be interesting. You know, we've talked about it at length. We'll see if our predictions are actually true. So one last thing we'll do before we wrap up here is just give you a quick preview of like the top free agents. Like, what are the big, you know, things to be looking for this offseason? You know, one of the first things that we'll probably talk about almost every single time we record going forward is Shohei Ohtani, the 23-year-old stud from Japan, who is... looks very like guaranteed to come to the big leagues this offseason.
He just hired an agent too.
Yeah. he is not going to get paid the big bucks because of, you know, whatever new you know, rules they have about international signings for players under 25. But some team will be very, very happy adding this two-way player to their roster.
Do you think a team would let him be a two-way?
They're going to have to. That's the only.
Do you think that would stop, like, block him out from half the league? Because
I don't think so. I think an NLT would you put him a way to use him in both capacities.
What, like at like first base, like after he pitches?
Yeah, and
he's going to be an outfielder, I think.
That would make the most sense to do with him.
I think if I were an AL team, I think
an AL team has a lot better chance of signing him just for that reason.
Yeah.
But you know, if an NL team wants him enough, they can definitely make that work. He's a really talented player. I know there's been a lot of hype, but a lot of that hype is very justified. It's not like, you know, unwarranted hype. So we're gonna be talking about Shohei Ohtani a lot, and hopefully he teases some teams for a little while and gives us a lot to talk about instead of just signing like next week or something crazy like that.
What you get a buzz on your phone right now?
Oh God, no! It's like the middle of the night, so that's definitely not going to happen. What else? Free agent market. We'll talk. You know, top pitchers: Yu Darvish, Jake Arrieta. Who else is that? Those are the big two, right? Am I missing?
Yeah, those are the two like aces that are on the market.
I think like Alex Cobb and Lance Lynn are also going to be free agents, a little lower down tier. Johnny Cueto already accepted his team
Justin
option,
Upton.
His player option. Yeah, Justin Upton.
Very smart.
Justin Upton signed an extension with the Angels for 5 years, I think.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun time for the Angels anyway. Hopefully, you know, that actually, you know, holds up because
we have protection.
Yeah.
He's either going to be a guy who ages great or is the next Jacoby Ellsbury contract.
Hey.
It's
not as bad as Jacoby Ellsbury.
It could be that bad.
Don't throw that around lightly.
I'm not. I think he generally has a chance because he's a very athletic guy who does not have the best reputation work ethic-wise and has relied a large on natural talent. But at the same time, his basic game and skills have aged well in other players. I think it's a coin toss, but I would still have made that deal 10 out of 10 times as the Angels. You need to give Trout more help in the lineup.
Yep, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're so far so good in the Angels offseason. We'll talk about them more next week, so check out the Angels Team of the Week podcast next week. What other free agents? There's some big sluggers out there. Excuse me. JD Martinez is probably the most, you know, premier name out there after the insane season he had with the Diamondbacks at the second half, especially. You've got a bunch of Royals. You got a trio of Royals, in fact. You've got Hosmer, you've got Kane, and you have Moustakas. All three of them are going to be very desirable. We'll see where they end up. If any of them end up back with the Fight Club, that'll be very interesting to watch. Am I missing other big hitters out in the free agent market this year? It's not a huge free agent year. It's kind of the point of what I'm saying. Next year is going to be...
So there's going to be a lot of guys overpaid.
Next year is going to be insane. I don't know about overpaid. I think it might seem that way just based on, you know, how much these players are actually being valued at. And, you know, timing is everything in this case. But I don't think you're going to see any, you know, outrageous contracts this year. I think a lot of teams are definitely planning that budget for next off season. So
did Jay Bruce sign an extension? I can't remember.
No, Jay Bruce is also a free agent.
And then with Wade Davis is
a free agent.
Wade Davis, Greg Holland is a free agent.
Right, he opted out of his
his deal. They're just, I mean, it's not
Cozart.
Too,
I like Zach Cozart a lot.
Not too star-studded of a free agent class, but there's a lot of interesting names there.
Right, that middle is really
Mike Napoli, Carlos Santana. Carlos Santana is
a big
name.
Yeah,
that is a big one. But yeah, I mean, just like
Hosmer,
mid upper tier,
the Royals trio already.
It's a lot of mid upper tier guys that'll be interesting to watch where they go.
Yep, and those are the difference makers, really. So, you know, we'll be talking about all of them, I'm sure, at some point throughout this offseason. So that was just a little preview. There you go, another one thrown in right at the end there. So yeah, I think that's all we have for you in this podcast. I think that we wrapped it up pretty well. You know, we wrapped up the era of war and peace baseball. I know it's a little bit sad, but we're gonna have a lot of fun with.
I'm still waiting for the sad music.
It's just not coming. You know what? Because it's gonna be a happy time. It's gonna be a happy transition. And I'll remind everybody again, Beat the Shift. That is the name we are going with.
Beat the Shift.
From here on out, look for it next week. We're starting it up right away. So I will include links once I have them. So yeah, if you want to, you know, stay really up to date with everything that we're doing, you know, as of right now, best ways to do that are by following us at, you know, our social media right now. Twitter at WPB_podcast, but you know that's probably going to change.
We will be changing that.
That will definitely be changing. Along with our Facebook page, we have, you know, War and Peace on Facebook, but you know that will probably change as well. So if you want to, you know, see more updates and see more changes, that's where you'll
just find us there, and then you'll find the changes as well.
Yeah, there will be plenty of information out there throughout this upcoming week. We'll be reminding you and, you know, trying to spread the word as best we can.
Wait. Is this going to be my last piece?
I don't know. We can decide on that another time. I guess people will find out. But
that's going to be the saddest part of it all.
Is that what's going to get you?
That's what Farbode podcasts for.
That's all he does. That's the
exactly
only reason he shows up.
What I stay here for. No.
Yeah, well, all right, you know, the dysfunction, you know, it'll carry over with us, the awkwardness, the looseness of everything that we do, it's not going to change that much. It's going to be the same show, so
better.
It'll just be better. Everything will be better. Everything is new and improved, new and shiny. So yeah, that's going to be the way we roll with it. All right, this is going to be the last one. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. As always, Farbode.
Peace.